chapter number 1.
Colossians chapter number 1. And this is not a bomb that I'm setting up here. It may tick like one, but it's not a bomb, so don't panic. That's to help me. Of course, when Pastor called, I'd already been thinking along the lines of what I'm going to preach on tonight. So that worked out real well. But we're going to take a look at Jesus Christ as the head. Jesus Christ is the head. And Colossians chapter number 1 is where we will be. And let's go ahead and read verse number 18, and then we'll go to the Lord in prayer. The Bible says here, "And He is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things He might have the preeminence." Let's read it one more time. "And He is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things He might have the preeminence." Let's pray. Dear Father, tonight as we come to this service, it's a special time. Lord, it's always a special time when Your people come together to center around the Word of God and to hear somebody preach. But Lord, tonight's an extra special night, and we pray that You would just use this message in a way that would bring You glory and honor. And we pray that most of all, our hearts and our lives would be changed, that we would leave here in a closer walk than we are before we came. And Father, I just pray You'd use me tonight. I've already asked You to do that. And God, I beg You at this point, Father, that You would get me out of the way and that You'd use me to do a work in the heart of Your people here tonight. For it's in Jesus' name we pray, and for His sake, amen. Now, of course, we have here, and if you read up in the context, it's obvious who this is talking about. But it's talking about Jesus Christ as the head of the body. If you study the Bible for any length of time at all, you know that when the Bible says something about Jesus Christ, He's the door, He's the life, He's whatever it says, if you'll do some study and some research on those particular things, whatever it is that it's saying that He is, you'll find that there are some characteristics that probably fit Jesus Christ. And tonight we're going to look at some of those things, and at first it may seem like just a Bible study, but I don't want it to be that, and I don't believe that the Lord wants it to be that. We may look at some things and you say, well, it's the first time I've heard that, that's neat, but at the end, we need to get our minds focused on Jesus Christ. I don't know whether I was right or wrong as far as doctrine, but it was, and I don't even remember how many years ago it was, but it was several years ago, long before I knew anything about Antioch Baptist Church, that I was sitting in a Baptist church and they were having the Lord's Supper that night, and I'd been struggling for quite a while with whether I was called to preach or not. And I'd filled the pulpit a couple times, but I was so scared because I wanted to preach. I mean, I enjoyed preaching. So that scared me. You know, some people run. You hear all sorts of stories about people running from God and doing things of that nature. My problem was I was afraid that I was running to God too easily. And I didn't want it to be something that I was doing, but I wanted it to be from God. I wanted God to have His hand on it. And if it wasn't God that wanted me to preach, I didn't want to do it. So I struggled with that. I remember sitting in a service, and it was the night of the Lord's Supper. And I just remember that I could not. I mean, my heart was racing. I could not partake of that Lord's Supper until I made that known, before I got that thing settled with God. And I got down on the altar and I talked to the Lord about it, and I made sure that that's what He wanted. And I'd already been dealing with it, but I made things right, because I didn't want to have anything between me and the Savior when I partook of the Lord's Supper. Now, was everything right? I don't know. But I know that God dealt with me through the Lord's Supper to make some things right with Him. And I hope that's what He'll do here tonight. But we can look at the head in Scripture. We're going to do that. Just looking at the head and finding what can we know about Jesus Christ just by looking at a head in Scripture. First of all, you'll find that the head is a place of life. You realize that? Look in your Bible at Genesis chapter number 40. And we're going to flip around the Scriptures here for a little bit. I don't want to kill you with it. But I think it's important that we look these things up, and then we're going to, towards the end, we'll try to wrap it in and get us centered on Jesus Christ. But the head in Scripture is a place of life. It's a place of life. If you look at Genesis chapter number 40 and verse number 16, we read of the story here, and it's about the butler and the baker. But it says in verse 16, when the chief baker saw that the interpretation was good, he said unto Joseph, I also was in my dream, and behold, I had three white baskets on my head. And in the uppermost basket there was all manner of baked meats for Pharaoh, and the birds did eat them out of the basket upon my head. And Joseph answered and said, this is the interpretation thereof, the three baskets are 3 days, yet within 3 days shall Pharaoh lift up thy head from off thee. What does that mean? It means you're losing your life, your history. If you lose your head, you basically have no hope. And shall hang thee on a tree, and the birds shall eat thy flesh from off thee. So the head there, when he said he's going to lift your head, if you look at another place where he's back here talking about the butler, he says that he's going to lift up your head also, but he doesn't say he's going to lift it up from off of you. Basically what he's saying is you're going to keep your life, he's going to restore you to your position, but then to the baker he said your head's going to be lifted up off of you, you're going to lose your life. The head's connected to life. Well, how in the world could we apply that to Jesus Christ? Of course, I don't know, several weeks ago I preached a message on Jesus Christ as the life. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. If it were not for Jesus Christ, you're dead. You're history. You say, well, you know, this morning I got up and I did this. No, you did not. It was Jesus Christ that enabled you to get up out of your bed, to go to that job, or do whatever you did today. You cannot make any claims on it. That's where we get in trouble. I did. You need to mark that out, that satanic terminology. That's what Satan used in Isaiah 14 when he said, I. But we rather need to be looking at Jesus Christ and saying, He did that, He did this, He enabled me to do this. He said, I am the vine, you are the branches. Without me, you can do nothing. Now, I think that's pretty plain, wouldn't you say? Without me, you can do nothing. So that's one thing we can look at the head in Scriptures and see that it's a place of life. Something else, the head is a place of blessing. The head is a place of blessing. Look, we're still in Genesis here. Genesis chapter number 48. And verse number 4, we'll look at 14 through 20 here. Genesis 48. The Bible says here in verse number 14, and Israel stretched out his right hand and laid it upon Ephraim's head, who was the younger, and his left hand upon Manasseh's head, guiding his hands wittingly, for Manasseh was the firstborn. And he blessed Joseph and said, God, before whom my fathers Abraham and Isaac did walk, the God which fed me all my life long unto this day, the angel which redeemed me from all evil, bless the lads. And let my name be named named on them, and the name of my fathers, Abraham and Isaac, and let them grow into a multitude in the midst of the earth. And when Joseph saw that his father laid his right hand upon the head of Ephraim, it displeased him. And he held up his father's hand to remove it from Ephraim's head unto Manasseh's head. And Joseph said unto his father, not so, my father, for this is the firstborn, put thy right hand upon his head. Why was he so concerned? Because that hand was going to that head to put a blessing on it. That's where the blessing comes from. The blessing doesn't come from somebody, you know, doing this kind of stuff. That's not where it comes from. It comes from Jesus Christ. You look at Galatians chapter number 3. Do you realize that in the Old Testament, a Gentile had to go to the Jews in order to get right with God, to have a relationship with God? I don't know for sure, but I think it was somewhere I'd read that there was a, they called it a sorg. I don't know for sure if that's it, but there was a wall where a Gentile could not go past this in temple worship. So you could only go so far before you had to stop. But Jesus Christ rent the veil in the temple in half, and you have access to go all the way in now. You realize that? And that's not because of you, but it's because of Jesus Christ. Genesis 3, verses 13 and 14. Galatians. Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree, that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Your blessings come through Jesus Christ. That's the only reason. Right there. Something else. The head is a place of joy, according to the Scriptures. Look at Isaiah 51. Isaiah chapter number 51. And you can do a whole lot more with this. I've taken out quite a bit of stuff just to try to keep it shorter tonight. But you can do more. There's more verses that you can go to for this. But Isaiah 51:11, the Bible says here, therefore the redeemed of the Lord shall return, and come with singing unto Zion, and everlasting joy shall be upon their head. They shall obtain gladness and joy, and sorrow and mourning shall flee away. So according to this scripture, there's everlasting joy on their head, right? Well, look at Romans 5:11. And we're just looking at some things here and seeing that, God knows what He's doing when He says something. And it's an amazing connections that you can make here. But Romans 5 and verse number 11, talking about Jesus Christ being our, He is our head, and that's where we get our joy from. But Romans 5:11, the Bible says here, and not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received the atonement. Your joy is through Jesus Christ. Do you remember the days when you were lost? I know some of you got saved when you were young, and I'm glad for you that you got saved when you were young. But in a sense, also, I think there's some things that you miss. You miss some of the times where you were ready to commit suicide, and that's not really a bad thing to miss. I'm not saying that. But I remember wanting to die. I remember having no reason to live. I remember that. I remember shutting myself into a room and turning out the light, not talking to people, not wanting anything to do with people. I remember wanting to put a knife to my wrist. I remember those days. I remember I had no, there was nothing. If there's nothing worth living if there's no Jesus Christ. You can say, well, that my spouse. No, your spouse is not worth living for if there's no Savior. I mean, that's just to be plain, okay? That human love can only go so far. It's Jesus Christ that brings joy that makes you want to keep going on. Happiness is a mood swing. It'll come and it'll go. You see it every day. But joy is something that remains. I don't know for sure, but we might could do a Bible search for the phrase everlasting happiness. And I don't know what we'd come up with, but I do know you can find everlasting joy in the Scriptures. Because joy is something that comes through Jesus Christ, and when you get it, you've got it. Thank God. Thank God for Him, because I remember those days. The head not only is a place of a life, it's a place of blessing, it's a place of joy, but it's a place of bearing burdens. I like that. Look at Genesis chapter 40 again. We've already looked at this. It's a place of bearing burdens. Now, we don't think about this a lot in our present culture, but the head is a place of bearing burdens. Genesis 40, verse number 16, we were just here. When the chief baker saw that the interpretation was good, he said unto Joseph, I also was in my dream, and behold, I had three white baskets on my head. Carrying the baskets on his head, right? That's where he's bearing those baskets. Let's go over to 1 Peter, chapter number 5, and we'll find out about Jesus Christ. You got something going on in your life right now that you just can't handle? Any problems? Anybody here got any problems? Don't raise your hand, because every one of you have got problems, I guarantee you. I guarantee you there's something that's on your mind right now. Something, you walked into the door, you had something on your mind, something you got to get done, something you got to take care of. Tomorrow, you're going to be facing something. There's always something that's on our mind. There's always something that's weighing us down. There's always something giving us trouble. That's what this world's about. But 1 Peter chapter number 5, verse number 7 says, casting all your care upon Him, for He careth for you. Isn't that a blessing? Isn't that a blessing? You got a problem? You say, I can't carry this thing. Okay, that's all right, because you can take that to the head and He bears the burdens. Jesus Christ is that head. I don't care what it is. We're not name it and claim it, but if you've got financial problems, take it to God. I know what they preach is crazy, but the fact is God is still rich. And God can take care of your needs. I'm learning that. Not only that, but the head is a place of judgment. Look at 1 Kings 2:44, and there's so much more on this particular one, but I don't want to go to it. But 1 Kings, the head is a place of judgment. 1 Kings 2, Verse number 44. The Bible says here in 1 Kings 2:44, the king said moreover to Shimei, thou knowest all the wickedness which thine heart is privy to do, or privy to, that thou didst to David my father. Therefore the Lord shall return thy wickedness upon thine own head. God's going to place that judgment on his head. How does that apply to Jesus Christ? Well, we read Galatians 3:13. That he became a curse for us. You know it was your place on that cross? Have you ever broken any of the laws of God? Anybody in here ever done any of that? Anybody in here that would say that you're guilty of breaking the laws of God? James says that if you've broken one, you're guilty of them all. But Galatians 3:13, I'll just read this. Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. Do you realize what an insult that must have been? Because he had said it before, and I believe Deuteronomy, that it's a curse for a man to hang on a tree. Can you imagine writing down in a book, it's a curse for somebody to do such and such, and then you voluntarily do it? For the sake of somebody, so they don't have to be a curse, so that they don't have to experience that curse. You say, well, look, I know what I wrote, and that's true. Cursed is everyone that hangs on a tree, but I'm going to take your place on that tree. Amen. That's exactly what Jesus Christ did. As the head, he took the judgment on himself. Amen. 1 Peter chapter number 2, verse number 24. The Bible says here, and I'll read this, who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sins, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes you were healed. Do you realize that Jesus Christ bore your sins on his body on that tree? The Bible says that he had never sinned. He's innocent. He's perfect. He's the spotless Lamb of God. He doesn't like sin. He hates sin. He's angry. You read the Old Testament, God is angry at sin. But Jesus Christ bore in his own body on that tree your wickedness. You think about the things you've done, and I don't want to use this as a time for Satan to warfare on you, but you've committed some grotesque sins in your past, and Jesus Christ bore that in his body. Amen. It's a shameful thing, and some people will point out everything you've done in your past. I believe we shouldn't do that. You've got victory over that already because it's under the blood. But the fact is that Jesus Christ bore some miserable things on that cross. Not only that, but Hebrews chapter number 9, verse number 28, talking about the head being a place of judgment. It says, so Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many, and shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation. Now that's an amazing verse right there. The fact that he bore my sins on his body, or in his body on that tree. But when we see him again, he doesn't have your sin with him. That's an amazing Savior. No purgatory. No penance. No anything. Jesus Christ bore your sins in His body. And He's going to appear next time without those sins. Praise the Lord. Not only that, but the head is a place of salvation. Isaiah 59:17. Isaiah 59:17. Says here, for he put on righteousness as a breastplate and an helmet of salvation upon his head. And he put on the garments of vengeance for clothing and was clad with zeal as a cloak. Put on a helmet of salvation. Luke 2:11. The Bible says this. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. I don't know whether you realize it or not, but all these things we mentioned, and there's more that I just didn't put in here, but you've got a place of life. The head is a place of life. If your head gets lifted off of you, you're in trouble. And the thing about it is, I think if you read over there in the Old Testament about the cities of refuge, they could flee to a city of refuge, and as long as the high priest was alive, they were allowed to stay in that city of refuge. Who's our high priest? Jesus Christ. And I believe He said that He ever liveth. Right? He ever liveth. Our high priest isn't going to die. No chance in it. We're safe. Not only that, the head is a place of blessing. Did you receive something good today from God? Did you receive something bad today from God? Something that was a trial? Something that was a test? Maybe God putting you through something to teach you? It comes through Jesus Christ. The head is a place of joy. Is Jesus Christ your joy? Or is sports, work, I mean, you name it. There's all sorts of things we put in God's place. And we begin to worship those things without even knowing it. Without even knowing it. The head's a place of bearing burdens. Is Jesus Christ bearing your burdens? Or are you carrying them? Most of the time I carry mine. The head is a place of judgment. Jesus Christ took our judgment on Himself. And the head is a place of salvation. There's one I didn't mention in as far as in the outline. And that's that the head is a place of authority. You can find that in Scriptures. The head is a place of salvation, joy, life. That's where the burdens are bore. But it's also a place of authority. Now that's where we get to a question in our own lives. The Bible says that Jesus Christ is the head of the church. He's supposed to be the authority. He's supposed to have authority. But did Jesus Christ have authority in your life today? Look what all He's done for us. We are the most unthankful, ungrateful group of people I've ever met. We're raised to be unthankful in America. We're raised to be just no character about us. Don't care about it. They owe you that. Everything's owed you. That's what we think. That's what we're brought up to believe. Oh, everybody owes you this. The government owes you this. Hey, look, nobody owes us anything. If we're going to be truthful about it, life is very much unfair. And it's unfair because God had to come to die on a cross to redeem people that He loves. That's what's unfair. It's unfair tonight that we are celebrating the death of a Savior who did no wrong. He had never sinned against His Father at all. But He came because of my sin and your sin. That's unfair. The world doesn't owe us anything. But does Jesus Christ have authority in your life? Pastor Reagan said something Sunday morning. It was an insert into the message. But I've not been able to get away from it. And I told him to listen to the tape because he didn't remember saying it. And I don't know whether he did or not, but he can still listen to it. But in the middle of the sermon Sunday morning, and if you get mad, then it's probably because he hit you, because it hit me. But he said, he told us that we don't care. It's pretty much what he said. Get the tape, listen to it. And when he said it, it shocked me. But I haven't been able to get away from it. All week I've thought about that. You just don't care. We don't care. As long as my bills are paid, as long as I've got proper clothing, I've got a home, as long as I've got all my things taken care of, I just don't care. And that's the fact. I guarantee that fits every one of you. We just don't care. How many of you wept when you found out that the Pope died and went to hell? We just don't care. But Jesus Christ is the head, and as the head, He's supposed to have authority. And if He has authority in your life, things will be different. We will see how far God takes this place. We'll see who's got the authority here. Because Pastor Reagan will be the first one to admit if he's the one that it's all dependent on, we're in a mess. because it goes above him, it goes to Jesus Christ. And I know he would say that. But what about you? Did that hit you Sunday like it hit me? Have you been thinking about that? That you just don't care? Well, if you have, we're getting ready to partake of the Lord's Supper here tonight. And perhaps you ought to get that thing right between you and the Savior. A bunch of people died today and went to hell. Yesterday, people died and went to hell. The day before that, people died and went to hell. People all over the world are hungry for the Word of God. Do you spend any time thinking about it? Or are we just satisfied in our salvation? I am so thankful that if I don't wake up tomorrow morning, I'm going to be with God. I'm thankful for that. But there's a multitude, more than not, are not going to be there. And a lot of them are sitting in churches thinking they're going. So back to the outline, the head's a place of life. It's a place of blessing. A place of joy. It's a place of bearing burdens. It's a place of judgment. And it's a place of salvation. And it's a place of authority. Where's Jesus Christ in your life tonight? I beg you to search your heart right now and say, God, what place in my life do you have? Are you first priority, or is there something else that's put itself in your place? Do an inventory right now. Right now. Getting ready to have an invitation. And you better make sure that things are right between you and the Savior. And if that doesn't even bother you, you better get on your face and beg God to convict your soul. If your relationship with God has gotten to the point where you don't care whether you're right or not and you don't have any conviction, you better get on your face and beg Him and plead with Him, because you're headed down a miserable road and you're getting ready to be set on the shelf. Let's pray. Dear Father, I pray that You do a work in our hearts and lives here tonight. Lord, if You do something, it'll be in spite of me. But Father, I thank You that You've already been pounding on my heart and showing me things that I need to do differently. Oh God, let us not lose conviction of when we're separated from You because of our own sins. Father, I pray You'd prick the heart of those here that need it tonight, that need to draw closer to You. And Lord, I just want to take time right now to just thank You for dying on the cross and bearing my sins in Your body on that tree. And I didn't have to do anything but trust You to get that sin debt taken care of. Oh God, how good You are to us. And how ungrateful we are. Do Your work here tonight, Father, for it's in Jesus' name we pray, for His sake. Amen. You can stand, Brother Sam, if you'll come. Pastor, if you'll come.